All right, 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse number 12. We started there last week, or in that, started with this. It said, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial." We talked about that a little bit. They were sons of Satan. "They knew not the Lord, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, while the flesh was in seething, or cooking, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it in the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, 'Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it to me, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord.'" They hated it. They despised it. Now I want to look at this into the Scriptures. I have seen this over and over, and this is not a new thing. One of the main problems it was having in Israel's day was not people just walking away from the truth, but some that were perverting the truth. And these people had come to be a hurt to the work of God instead of a help. These two sons of Eli should have been examples. I've seen the same thing happen in the ministry down through the years, and God help us. None of us live perfect. None of us live without sin. Some claim that they do, but they're still wrong. They sin. Because God said in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth's not in us. But there's multitudes that I've seen. I got to thinking about down through the years, and especially this week I was riding home, and I got a phone call from one of the friends of mine in Tennessee, and I'd asked him about a preacher that I used to work with a little bit here at the ministry and was set out to do a good work and actually started a church somewhere. And I'd wondered about him, and I just asked this guy. I knew he knew him at one time, and I said, "What happened to him?" And he said, "I don't know, but when I'll find out, I'll let you know something." So he just called me, and he said, concerning him, he called his name, and I said, "Yes." He said, "I found out about him." I said, "What happened?" He said, "He's not even doing anything. He's just quit preaching." And I said, "Do what?" He started off with good work. We'd done some printing for him down here. He'd done a lot of work for another ministry. Started a church. And I was not critical, but I looked at it to start with, and I thought, this boy don't have the call of God. That's what I said years ago. And I've seen so many of these enter into the ministry, and I could go back and name you a list of them, that started off, and they look like they're going to really do some things. I've had a lot of people announce their calling in the ministry under the times that I've been preaching, and some of them today are not even going to the house of God, much less even trying to preach. And you see all this. And so this fella here, he had somehow got all messed up, and next thing you know, divorced his wife, married another woman, had children by her, and he's just working somewhere in a public job. And it'd be better if some of these fellas never get into it. They get the glory kind of in it, and it looks like it's flashing, and they'll jump into it, and they mess up. Well, these fellas, just looking at them, I don't know how they looked, but I can say to you here, that they looked like they had a pretty good ministry, but they weren't real. And God needs some real people today in the work of the ministry. Don't you believe that? Needs some people who are called and sent out And we see these people today that get in the ministry without that calling, they do damage to the work of God. Now, these two fellows here done a tremendous damage to the work of the Lord. They brought reproach upon the things of God. Matter of fact, they brought the judgment of God upon them. I wouldn't want to do anything today that would hurt the work of God. If anything, I believe is a high institution, it's the church. And we need to look at this. Now, I said we were going to talk about some things about this week, and we are. There's been a lot of parents that have raised children. They brought those children up at the church house. They put them in the choir. They sung with them. They put them under good, strong preaching. And for some strange reason, which I just cannot explain, and I can't tell you the why, I got some things I can give you from the Word of God that's all I can depend on, and that's enough. Amen. But I can say down the road that sometimes you can raise them the best that you can, do all that you can, and they will not turn out like you want them to turn out. And I'm sure that happened to Eli here. Except there's some things that's going a little bit deeper. I've looked at mine and looked back at the children, and parents have done the same thing and said, "Where did I go wrong?" That's what we say when we get our kids grown. And it didn't turn out like we want them to turn out. Every parent should have a desire to see their children raised at church. And by the time that they're teenagers and even coming out of the church or coming out of school and getting into the church, that they just continue on in the work of the Lord and never go to the ways of the world. That would be ideal for every parent. That's what we want. That's what God intends for us to have. That's what God wants us to work for, to get there. But it don't always work that way for several strange reasons. Sometimes I've even seen this happen. I've seen people raise children outside of church. They're good moral people, but never even attend the house of God. Moral people, but they do not even read much in the Bible. And I've watched some of them raise their children with the same kind of, even without being in the church, they got better standards sometimes than some of the people in the church. Things they will not do, things they will not participate in, things they will not let their children be involved in. And then I've seen them raise them up, and then they end up being, instead of going to church, there's just good moral people. There are some people in the world that are still moral. You believe that? Sure. And then we look at these things and see it, and you wonder why. Sometimes we question it. But when I see today what I see in America, and I hear them today say what we need to do to the ghettos, and what we need to do to some of these places having riots, and some of these places are making demonstrations, and the politicians come out on the scene and they say this: what we need to do is provide them more jobs and provide them work and better education. And that gets everybody's attention, and that sounds wonderful, don't it? Amen. Wouldn't you like to go up and down America today and say, "Hey, look, I can give you jobs and I can give you education"? But you can give an individual a job and you can give an individual education, and they still never amount to anything. Jobs is not what America's wanting today. You may give a man a job, and what they need is Christ. What they need is the Lord. And so I think about all the people, put them back to work, you put them to work, but if you can give a man a job and he don't have a mind to work, he's not going to work. There are jobs today. People don't want to work them. Amen. Because they want the high-paying jobs of doing nothing and making a lot of money. That wasn't the way I was raised. But it come from not a religious principle, but a Bible principle that a man needs to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. So you can cut off the welfare program, amen, and give them some jobs, then they'll go to work. If a man's going to starve to death, he will eat if he can find it, and he'll work to eat. But you need these days without working. And I'm just trying to get in the thought here, and I'm leading up to where I believe Eli and these sons had come to. And they were wicked. So I'm proposing this morning that you and I need to come to the place and get back to the Word of God, that when America gets to the place that she'll start putting God number one in all the jail systems and what we've got, and they incorporate religious services, and I'm not talking about just religion, and they start majoring on trying to win souls in the prison and jails and get them off the streets, amen, and give them Jesus, and in the communities exalt Jesus, amen, and get them saved before they ever go to jail. That is where we need to be today. It's not in education and jobs. Amen. You agree with me, don't you? And I'm not trying to be political. I'm just telling you basic facts. Now let's look at some more things. I believe I mentioned these a little bit last week about these sons of Belial. That means they're sons of the devil. Two things about them. First of all, you find that they didn't know the Lord. That means they were lost. They had a knowledge of Him, but they didn't have a heart knowledge of Him. They didn't know Him. They knew of Him, but not know Him. The Bible said in this, as I read it to you in verse 17, I want you to turn to verse 22. Go down to verse 22. You'll find a little bit more about these sons. Now, Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. He heard how that they were taking the sacrifice, and we'll look at that when we get down to it just a little bit more. They were taking the sacrifice, and they were using it personally for themselves. And they were getting the best, and they were doing that, and they were forcing the people to bring it. And if they didn't give it to them, they would take it from them, and that's not what God said. And they were despising the sacrifice of God. And when you do that, you're trampling the blood of Christ under your feet, basically what you're doing. That's a type of that. Verse 22 said, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, committing fornication at the door of the tabernacle." I mean, they were filthy and dirty and wicked, and they had not God on their mind because they didn't know God. And they were bringing a reproach upon the things of God. Now, that's terrible. This is a terrible situation. It really is. And he said in verse 23, "And he said unto them, Why do ye such things?" He's talked to his sons. "For I have heard of your dealings by all this people. They've come and told me what's happening." He's confronted them. Verse 24, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress." And the reason is because they was bringing those sacrifices, asking them to them, and they was going outside of what God expected for them to do. And they were not trying to go by the Word of God. These fellows had their own rules. We'll talk about that. In verse number 25, he said, "If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken," look at that, "they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." They would not hearken. They wouldn't do it. They refused. They were rebels. They were rebellious. Now, Eli had put up with that. Now, why had that happened? Go down to verse 29. The Bible said, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded." Now, what's happened here? A man of God has come now. In talking to Eli, he's telling him, he says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me." He got the place that he exalted his sons and honored them more than he honored God. Now, Eli had a problem. Now, you're getting to where we see what we're talking about. He had two sons that were wicked. They were ungodly. They were unholy. Now we're finding, as the man of God comes through the Lord God, that he's telling us now that he's honoring his sons above the Lord. He said, "To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Making merchandise of the things of God. This is a problem, and I have a problem with it across the board, bro, when I see what I see happening in our churches today. We've come to the place that we are honoring one another. We've come to the place that we are in the business of trying to get what we can get for ourselves. And any church that set itself up to prosper itself and to get for itself is not a church that God has oriented. And it's lost its sight. One purpose we have this morning, and that is to win souls. Now slip on down to verse 34. I'm just trying to deal with this little thought this morning, and I trust it'll help you. Verse 34 is not one of those easy subjects to talk about. Verse 34, "And this shall be a sign unto thee." The man of God is telling him what's going to happen. "That shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them." This is a prediction. Now, another place, God says, "Hey, there's not going to be any old men in your family anymore. It's over." God said, "I'm going to cut their days short because of the sins of these two fellas. I'm going to cut the days short, and there's not going to be any old men anymore. I'll take them out in an early life." God knows how to take care of business. Chapter 3, verse number 13. We're going to find some more information. He said in verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons," he's talking about Eli's sons, "made themselves vile." Made themselves vile. They went the wrong way. Comma. Look at the last phrase. "And he restrained them not." The lack of discipline and the lack of correction is what caused Eli's sons to go in the wrong direction. Isn't that about what we've come to in America? You can't have no discipline. We was talking to somebody the other day, and I used to drive the school bus, and they was talking about driving school buses, and I remember when I drove it, you could discipline the children to some degree. It was getting kind of rough about the time I was doing that, but I've had to stop the bus a few times, unlatch the seat belt, and get up and go back and take care of business. I never laid hands on none of them. I sure wanted to, but I didn't. But they got enough from me, amen, to be scared, and I put the fear of God in them, amen, or fear of me, one, I don't know which one it was, to where they kind of halfway decently operated. I could do it. I have to do it kind of often, but I still did it. You can't do that now. Now you have the parents and the school won't even back you up most of the time. And so you have all that problem. And what's happened is when we come to a place in America that we quit disciplining children, then we start raising thugs and thieves on the street. And that's why we are, and that's why I say, coming back to what I was talking about a while ago, we need to give them some right principles from the Word of God and teach them from the Word of God. I'm telling you what. God has an order for raising kids. Somebody said the other day, I heard this on a commercial. Said we got children, but we don't have no instructions on how to raise them. And I thought, don't say such a stupid statement. We got a Bible. That's the instruction book to raise kids with. We just got the place now. We just don't want to do it, or we're scared to do it, and they won't let us do it, and so forth. All right. Now, we look at this. These boys were worthless. They were useless. They were wicked. Would you say that? Well, it's hard to say that of a lot of people's kids, wouldn't it? But Eli's gone, and Hophni and Phinehas is gone. We can both, all of us sit here this morning and say they're wicked, useless, and no count. If we're living among them, we might not say that so much. Understand? Now, you see where we're coming from? They remind me of people that can talk about Jesus but don't know how to walk for Jesus. They got a good walk, got a good talk, but not a good walk. They claim to have God, but their life proves them otherwise. These men were lost. They were not serving God. They're supposing to be serving God, and people thought that that's what they were doing. But reminds me of saved people today that are supposedly doing right and not doing right. They know they had an iniquity of sin in their life, of fornication and wickedness and going against what God even said in His Word, but they were ignorant of the truth, and they could not see the truth of the Lord. And so they knew about Him but didn't know God. And so they were trusting their works. They were looking at what they wanted to do. They looked at the things and done what they wanted to do, and that become their theme. Now here's what happens. Look at Leviticus. Go back to the book of Leviticus. Hold your place in 1 Samuel. But go to Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Third book of your Bible. And let's go to chapter 7 in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is the book of all the order of the sacrifices, and we're going to find out what was supposed to be done. In the 7th chapter, we'll start with verse number 31. Verse 31 of chapter 7 of Leviticus. Give you time to get there. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. They burnt the fat, but he got the meat. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. Now that's what they eat of. The Bible says, you know, teaches that if you get, you're to live the gospel, amen, you do. I believe you take care of the workman's worthy of his, what? Hire, alright. Verse 34, he said, for the weighed breast and the heaved shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings and have give them unto Aaron and the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is how God took care of the men of God, the priest. God has taught from day one that people are to take care of the man of God. He's taught that. A lot of little country churches up here in the mountains of northeast Georgia don't realize that. They think it, you know, and I believe a church ought to strive to get to the place that they can support the man of God, take care of the preacher. I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that. God has been that way. God has done that. He took care of them there. So He said, this is what they need to do. And they were taking it out of place. They were getting what they wanted, not what God told them to have. And that, so what they're doing, they're taking that flesh hook in, three teeth, and pulling out, and whatever they got, that was theirs. And they'd give it to the others, and people, that's what they were doing. And if you didn't bring the offering, they forced you to bring the offering. In other words, you had to. So it became ritualistic. Everything they did was ritualistic, and it became a monopoly. It became a business, more or less. And that's about what the church has come to today. Amen. And that's why I'm always, and I've been this way for years and years, that's why I'm against preachers selling all the wares they got. Amen. I know preachers right now, they write books all the time, and all they're writing those books for, you said, why? They get this little green stuff. They sell those books. And you know what they've done? Most of those books, and you say, well, I'll agree with you, but most of them books, I guarantee you, they picked it up and got all the information of other preachers down the country. Not a whole lot of it's original anyhow. Nothing new under the sun. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes I think I get me a new nugget. I've heard something I ain't never heard before. And I read it out of the Word of God. And God gives me a thought. And I said, praise God. That is original. That's original. And then two or three weeks later, I hear a preacher has already said the same thing. Or I read it in another book. Amen. How many times you had that? You hear a preacher today preach, get on the radio, after a while you listen to it and he'll preach the same message just about it. Pick up one of your books off your library and read, they're right on the same subject. Isn't it amazing how God just gives you three shots at one time? And it's nothing original. It's all God. How about that? But they make merchandise of it. I don't like it. I'm against that. You said, that's their way of living. That's not the way God wanted. That's putting it in. And you said, I don't agree with you. Well, you don't have to agree with me. Amen. That's fine. This is deosology if you want it. You can call it whatever you want to. But I still believe that we are not to make merchandise of the things of God. If I sold books and tapes and CDs and everything else back there on the table, amen. We did that. I'm going to tell you, what's any difference in us bringing our shoes and our pocketbooks and putting them in the parking lot over here next Saturday and selling them? Only thing is, the church would get the money and not the preacher. Amen. See, I know people don't agree with that, and I've been criticized for it for years. But that's why I believe God has blessed us at this place. We've given away everything we've got. And we continue, and God takes care of it. Amen. I said, that's all right. I wouldn't buy anything you sell any if you sold it. Probably wouldn't. That's why I give it to them. Amen. They come in down here. I had a preacher this week. He come in and got a bunch of literature. And he said, what do I owe you? And I said, now, brother, you know we don't charge anything. And he said, all right, I appreciate it. Said, I just want to... I said, you don't have to ask that no more. He does it every time. I said, we don't charge you for anything. We print it. We work with it. We get it out. We get it out to you free. We ship it and pay the postage on it. Amen. Praise God. That's right. We had some fellow the other day sent a check in, and he sent $10, and somehow we was about 3 weeks getting his order filled. And I got on the phone, and he's called about it. And he said, about a week into it, the second week, he called and he said, ain't got my order, just forget it. And so you know what I done? I forgot it. That's what he told me. Then I got a nasty letter. And he said, I ordered that letter to her. You didn't send it. I sent you $10. And he said, I do need that letter to her. And so I put the letter to her in, give him extra, give him a big box of stuff, and I put two $5 bills on top of it and sent it back to him. He sent us $10. So I gave him letter to her and his $10. Amen. So I think that's right. And 3 weeks. We was late 3 weeks. So that's bad, but sometimes it happens. Amen. But anyhow, I ain't heard from him. I ain't heard from him since. But maybe he'll order some more. Maybe he won't. But anyhow, I appreciate what the Lord does through the work and the ministry. But I'm saying to you this morning, here's what happened. These fellas said, we're going to do it another way. This reminds me of the way that the churches are doing too in easy believism. I'm just going to catch me in a minute. We've got a different way of salvation in these days. According to them, we just have to, you know, you just have to believe. Believe is fine. You've got to believe, but you better repent and believe. And we can all believe anything. You can believe that a rocket can go to the moon, but that won't save you. Amen. You got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what they were doing, these fellows, I'll give you a few things in closing. They were concerned about getting instead of giving. And when a church or an individual or a preacher or a church or a congregation gets to the place that we're more concerned about what we're going to get out of it than what we're going to give, then we're in trouble. Secondly, they got focused on power, personal power, than being focused on submission. Every child of God needs to be submitted to the Lord. We're not to raise ourselves in pride. We're servants. Servants are submissive. And we get the place that we want that authority. We want that authority. We're living in the most authoritative age, I guess, or day of authority. Everybody wants. We worked over at the mill over yonder for years, and they called them loom cleaners. And that, a loom cleaning job is one of the nicest jobs ever. I did it for a long time. And you come out of there nasty, but it pays your bills. And then they changed that, and they put it on the housekeeping, and they put them on, they give them some technical jobs titles. Done the same job. They had a loom fixer, And then they changed it one day and said, he's a loom technician. Made him feel better. Didn't change his pay, didn't change his job. Amen. They come out and said, this is the employees. Amen. And they changed that, what was it they called them? Associates. Amen. And so here they are. They got to get the different name and it's different, you know. You put a title on it, that gives us that authority. And so these fellows, they was recognized as being the priest's sons and they had that authority and they liked it. They emphasized doing their own thing instead of making responsibility of doing things for the Lord God. They had a desire for instant fulfillment, to please self, to satisfy self. They had a desire for popularity, for fame, for the praise of men, and that's what happened, and it happens in our churches today. They served self instead of others. They wanted a self-gratification and not self-control. They couldn't do that. They didn't like God's plan, so they made their own. They didn't like God's provision, so they changed it. So when they do that, they change the way of salvation and change the way of service. And God is not honored with that, and God is not pleased with it. And that's what these fellas done. We won't spend no more time with these, except when we get over and find out that they get killed. But we will deal with some more out of this chapter. We may mention them a little bit, but we'll probably start particularly dealing with Samuel. Samuel was the great priest who became, he was a judge, a priest. And we'll find what he did. And he became great things, done some great things for the Lord. And we'll look at his life. Let's bow our heads and ask God's leadership. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer. We come to the house of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We can exalt your name and be blessed. I pray that your precious name might be lifted, that we might not see ourselves, but we'll see Christ. You said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And I pray, God, we'd lift you today. We'll exalt you today. May the Lord bless and have his will in our life as we stand before you. And I pray, Father, you bless the songs that are sung. Lord, every word that's uttered today, may you get the praise out of it. May your name be lifted. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray.